When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Ali Moreno, Shaki Hislop and myself, Kay Murray, in the studio. A little later on, we're going to be hearing from Ian Dark as well as Frank Leboeuf too. But let's get started by talking about the Bundesliga, which is back for 2024. Bayern Munich taking on Hoffenheim. Jamal Musiala scoring twice and Harry Kane adding a late third as they won 3-0 on a night in which the late great Franz Beckenbauer was honoured. Wasn't the most comfortable of 3-0 wins, though, it is fair to say. Bayern second still behind Leverkusen, who'll play Augsburg on Saturday, away to Augsburg as well. But Bayern doing what they needed to do, still getting the win. But as mentioned, Ali, there have been more, let's say, convincing performances from Bayern Munich.
Well, actually, I think that's the issue with Bayern Munich, is that not many of their performances have been all that convincing. And this one started all that well. I mean, it started great. To be honest with you, if you're Bayern Munich, you're having pressure higher up the field, you're forcing turnovers. It feels like there's an energy and an intensity about the players. They feel fresh. Here we go. First game, 2024. And they scored a goal, and you think, okay, here we go. Bayern. Awesome. We're flying. Not quite. Because the second half came, and while they had all the possession in the first half, they didn't really create all that many opportunities. And in the second half, turns out that Hoffenheim was the one creating opportunities. And then you start seeing some of the same mistakes from Bayern Munich that we have seen defensively over the course of the season. They show up once again. And what made this game actually a 3-0 win for Bayern Munich was not their own doing. It was the fact that Hoffenheim could not take advantage of the very clear opportunities that they had. Manuel Neuer had to come up with save after save after save. It was a period of time of about 10 minutes in which Hoffenheim had three very clear chances to score a goal. They did not. Then they get a red card. And after that, Bayern Munich just takes over, and their quality is just far too much for Hoffenheim. So, look, it's 3-0, but unnecessary stress. And I think you can say that about Bayern Munich and this whole season. They keep winning games, but there's always an element of stress that I don't think this team, the way that they're put together, should be going through these patches over the course of matches. It's happening all too often, and I think Thomas Tuchel needs to address it. He continues to say, hey, we're going to talk about it, we're going to do it, we're going to be better. And they haven't been.
Yeah, but thankfully today it was a clean sheet for Bayern, and a big part of that was Manuel Neuer,
who was absolutely outstanding in that little spell midway through the second half where Hoffenheim had their chances. And that was a turning point in the game. Made three big saves, I think, between 60 and 67 minutes. And then all of a sudden, Bayern get their second, I think, 5 minutes after that third chance. Continues to show how important he is to Bayern Munich, even in games like this. Because I'm with Ali in that Hoffenheim, to their credit, even after going 1-0 down, didn't start to gamble, didn't take chances, sat in a defensive shape and were very disciplined. And as the game went on, Bayern just looked more and more devoid of ideas. You wonder where that spark was going to come from. And in the end, it only came when Hoffenheim sensed that Bayern weren't up for whatever was happening. They were wasteful in front of goal, and all of a sudden Bayern were able to find chances. So while we're talking about a 3-0 win, a lot of questions about Bayern Munich defensively, a lot of question marks about Bayern in terms of their creativity up against an organised Hoffenheim defence. It really leaves you scratching your head.
It was a quieter game by Harry Kane's standards, but he did still score, Ali.
Yeah, and I think that in itself tells you the story about Harry Kane and Bayern Munich, is that even when it doesn't feel like he's participating all that much, even when it feels like he hasn't been nearly as good or active as we have seen in the earlier part of the season, he still finds himself in moments and situations in which, if you find them, he's going to score the goal. And this is really how it happened in this game. Didn't really participate all that much, didn't get involved all that much, so was sort of comfortable with playmaking and not really being a presence inside the 18-yard box, but then gets a penetrating pass from Leon Goretzka, good first touch, finishes the chance, and here we go, yet another goal from Harry Kane. Didn't do a whole lot over the course of the game, scores a goal, they win the game 3-0, what do I know? And the truth of the matter is that for Harry Kane, in Bayern Munich, it seems automatic that he's going to score every time he shows up.
Does this Bayern team look like one that could win the Champions League to you?
Not this Bayern team, no. And without question, they've got the personnel, they've got the talent to go very deep, if not win the Champions League. But there's just something missing. And we've discussed it. Defensively, they're out of sync. And when you're looking for that creative spark, oftentimes you're looking for Leroy Sané, but he had a little bit of an off day. Musiala can be that person, but he's still young and a little bit inconsistent. Harry Kane continues to be an outstanding striker, but needs some moving pieces around him. Maybe that comes right in time for the resumption of the Champions League, and we see how deep they go. But this version of what we've seen today against Hoffenheim, no, they're a long way shy of being Champions League worthy.
What about the Bundesliga? Are you confident that this is a side that will win the Bundesliga?
Well, what I am confident in is that Bayern Munich can be better than what they have been so far. And I think there is better to come from Bayern Munich. Whereas Bayer Leverkusen, they have been outstanding. And I've said it time and time again that they have been the best team in Bundesliga so far. But they have played at a very high level for a long time. I think eventually they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. I don't think they sustain that level of play. And if Bayern Munich then is able to find their very best, I think, is better than that of Bayer Leverkusen. And so, therefore, that would give Bayern Munich every chance to, at the very least, have that the opportunity to win it again. The issue for me is, when does that come? When does that better version of Bayern Munich come, and are they going to be able to sustain it? I'm saying Leverkusen won't sustain it, but I haven't seen evidence, indeed, that Bayern Munich can sustain it themselves. I'm asking for consistency from Bayern Munich, which we haven't seen. Leverkusen has been great. Xabi Alonso has been great. The injury to Victor Boniface is going to be a problem. He's out until April. How do they address his absence is going to go a long way in determining whether Leverkusen stays in the race. Leverkusen, I think, is not going away. It's up to Bayern Munich to really raise their level. And if indeed they do, I think they go on to win it.
Here's the thing. I think, without question, Leverkusen has been the best team in the league so far. But after 16 games, while we've criticized Bayern Munich, they're a point shy of Bayer Leverkusen. If you're a Leverkusen fan, that's a concern.
Yeah, okay, well, Leverkusen in action against Augsburg on Saturday. Make sure to head on over to our YouTube page. You'll also see the post-match reaction whenever it comes to the big games in the Bundesliga and a lot more talk about top-flight German football.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Spanish Supercopa has brought us El Clásico for the final on Sunday. Silverware at stake as Real Madrid and Barcelona face off once again. Ian Dark joining us now. He's been on the call for many a Real Madrid and Barcelona game with us here on ESPN and will be on the call on Sunday. From what you've seen from Barcelona this season, Ian, do you think this side can dominate Real Madrid?
Yeah, but I think they probably can, you know, because it's the Clásico. And Barcelona in the Clásico, I think Xavi's right. They did dominate for 70 minutes in the first La Liga meeting this season. They were brilliant in the final of this against Real Madrid last year. Of course, they haven't been that impressive so far in the league season. They're 7 points off Real Madrid. But, you know, they brought on Felix, who looked the part after a bad spell, didn't he, coming on in the game against Osasuna. They brought on Pedri. He's fit again. Young Yamal scores. He might even start the final because Rafinha's out for a month or so now. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an entertaining, exciting game with goals. And, yes, I think Barcelona give Real Madrid another run for their money for sure.
Do you agree, Ale?
I agree that Barcelona coming into this match will look upon what they did at this time last year. In what I can argue, easily argue, that may have been the best version of Barcelona that we have seen under Xavi. And that they went into that match in a similar form as to what we're seeing right now. And so they can draw from that and say, you know what, we can do this again. We can recreate that same sort of feeling. The difference is, and it's something in the last statement that Xavi made there, is that we have to show our best football. I don't think that Xavi nor his players know exactly what that looks like. Because this season, they haven't come close to whatever the best version of Barcelona is. The best version of this group is to be determined. And so it'll be a surprise for him, for the players, for Real Madrid, if indeed we see the best version of Barcelona, where their possession is incisive, if productive, take it into the attacking half, really creating opportunities, vertical passing, not just possession for the sake of possession, good moments in transitional defense, where Araujo dominates, where Koundé dominates, where Christensen dominates. A mistake-free game from Barcelona is yet to happen defensively, and a creative version of Barcelona is yet to be seen with any sort of consistency. So, to Xavi, I would say, I don't know, and I don't think he knows what the best version of this team is this season.
Now, Robert Lewandowski scored in the semi-final against Osasuna. Very important for him to score right now, given the season that he's had. And he'll be important to Barcelona if he's in this better form, Xhaka.
Yeah, at long last, Robert Lewandowski scores from open play. And he had a couple of other gilt-edge opportunities in this game that he should have done a whole lot better with, but finally he gets it right. We've not seen that version of Lewandowski for quite some time. And Barcelona need it because there's just so little else for them to draw on. And while, yes, they make easy work of Osasuna and there are little individual things from a Barcelona perspective that you can look at or hope proves his spark, whether it's Pedri or, as you mentioned, Lewandowski finally scoring again. That's where Barcelona are, certainly in comparison to Real Madrid, where you're hoping to find a spark somewhere or the other. Let's be honest, even though they made light work of Osasuna, it was not a convincing performance by Barcelona. Contrast that with what happened 24 hours earlier, where Real Madrid showed a level of grit that I'm not sure that Barcelona are able of showing themselves.
So Real Madrid are favourites coming into this game on Sunday against Barcelona. We asked the panel for their predictions of this game as well, and everybody came back with those predictions. We just heard Ian say that he thinks it's going to be a high-scoring game as well. So let's bring you up what you guys are going for. Ian, who are you backing and why?
Well, I've gone for 2-2 and Real Madrid to win on penalties because I think, to some extent, I listened to everything that Ali and Xhaka have said there. Yeah, Barcelona haven't been convincing, but you might be able to put the form book to one side in a game like this. They can see this, I think, as maybe a little springboard moment in their season, Barcelona. It may be just hoping for something that isn't quite there, but we shall see, but you can't underestimate Real Madrid's ability to get out of holes. I mean, there they were with just a few minutes to go in that great game against Atletico, 3-2 down, and then Vinicius comes up with that fantastic run, causes the chaos, and Carvajal scores. Now, who'd have thought there'd be a Real Madrid game with 5 goals, none from Vinicius, none from Rodrigo, none from Bellingham, and 3 of the defenders on target?
It was a wild game, wasn't it, Ian? Brilliant as well. What about that goal from Brahim? We thought we'd bring that one off.
I've seen it all. I said, I think, on the commentary, I've seen it all. I mean, the goalkeeper comes up, he gets in an Olympic sprint with Brahim Diaz. He's always going to lose it. And Diaz, who's come to a bit of form, actually, look at this. The picture's telling the story.
an Olympic sprint. Well, that is what? That is as generous as it comes. Yeah.
Who was the Olympic sprint?
Diaz. Well, I'm saying this is against all goalkeepers. You've got to answer for all goalkeepers here, Shaka.
Oh, gloves slow you down.
Yeah, is that it? Come on, legs!
The aerodynamics. Gloves affect the aerodynamics.
Did you see Yanovlak? As he knows, and he can feel, because you can sense it as a player, that Brahim Diaz is coming. He's like, he's pulling the air. Come on! Come on, legs! Come on! And it's not moving. You know, I'll tell you what. Ian would have cut Yanovlak that night. Ian would have cut. Yes, he would have cut up.
I play walking football. I would have been beaten by further.
All right, well, we do have your predictions. Obviously, you've heard Ian thinks it's going to be 2-2 after regular time. As for the rest of you guys, Shaka and Ale Moreno both going for a Real Madrid win. Why, Ale?
Well, because if you're struggling and if you're looking for confidence and if you are inconsistent in the way that you play and you're allowing way too many goals and not scoring enough, which is what Barcelona have done over the course of the season, I think the one team in Spain that you do not want to play is Real Madrid. You don't play Real Madrid to look for confidence. I just simply don't buy that. You can try to draw from whatever happened last year and think that maybe this is how you turn around your season and maybe this is what pushes you forward. But as a struggling team, Real Madrid is not the answer. Real Madrid is not the one that you want to face. And so I just don't see Barcelona keeping Real Madrid from scoring. And I go back to what has been the performance of Barcelona over the course of 19 matches in La Liga. And that is a team that while they may have the ball, they struggle to create opportunities. And when they do create those opportunities, they haven't proven to be good enough to put them away. And so I go by the recent history, not by history of 365 days ago.
7 points off the pace in La Liga right now, Ian. How much of a blow will it be to Xavi if they don't win this, if Barcelona don't win this Supercopa game against Real Madrid?
Well, I just crank up the pressure on him a little bit more because there's always very, very high stakes in a game like this, particularly among the fans. I mean, there are doubts about whether he is a long-term answer in the way that Carlo Ancelotti is obviously a long-term answer for Real Madrid. There'll be more questions. So, yeah, they need to put that trophy on the sideboard, and it would be a heck of a relief, frankly, for him to win this.
And to be fair to Barcelona, though, everybody picked Real Madrid. Even Ian, who has been friendly and glass half full with Barcelona, is saying Real Madrid is going to win this. So let me just say this, Barcelona is going to win it. Because if everybody picks Real Madrid, history tells us in this show.
We know it works. Yeah.
If we all pick one side, go the other.
Xhaka doesn't agree. Or have you changed your mind because you don't want to agree with your colleagues?
No, I haven't changed my mind. I'm just saying that.
I don't agree with what?
You don't agree that Barcelona are going to win the Supercopa?
Oh, no. He's saying Barcelona are going to win because
we all picked Real Madrid.
And in the nature of this show, when we all pick one team, you all get it wrong. Yes. You need somebody to be
different. You can't just change like that because it's in writing now, LA, so don't start taking credit.
I did not change it. I said Real Madrid are going to win it, but because we all pick Real Madrid, and we have seen it in this show, that when we do that, you got to go the opposite way.
All right, well, okay. Barcelona.
Okay. Yeah, why is she so angry?
Coming for you.
What did I do?
Wow.
What did I do?
Supercopa.
She got her hair done, and now she's got an attitude and everything.
Supercopa coming up on Sunday. Make sure not to miss it. Real Madrid against Barcelona. Ian Dark back on the call for this game. 1:30 Eastern. You'll be able to catch it on ABC and ESPN+.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Due to a little winter break in Premier League play, only four games coming up this weekend. One of them is Chelsea against Fulham Saturday, a West London derby. Both sides coming off a Carabao Cup loss this week in their semi-final first legs. Chelsea favourites in this game. And here are the score predictions as well. So, Chelsea, and a draw for Ale and Xhaka as well. As Frank Leboeuf comes back in. Frank, you're not always so positive about your former club, but you are for this game. Tell us why.
I don't have an answer for that. The thing is I really wonder, you know, should I go for a draw or win? I say, well, you know, my blood is blue, so I should think about supporting a little bit my former club. And that's the only reason I have to say, because according to what I saw lately, it cannot be a win against Fulham. But I want to believe in miracle. But that's really not, I know, a pundit's analysis. It's just a basic fan, you know, a support and wish. But that's the only thing I can say. You know, with, according to what we saw and that game against Middlesbrough, nothing can be optimistic. They have to work hard, they have to change some stuff, and as we all have seen during the year and the past year, nothing's going to change. And Fulham can be absolutely astonishing if they want to, so it can be tricky for Chelsea. But I want to believe that for once, and in a derby, Chelsea will have their pride out and do the job.
Okay, so Ian, why are you optimistic for a Chelsea win?
Well, there's a bit of history here. Fulham haven't won a league game at Stamford Bridge since, wait for it, 1979. Chelsea and Fulham were both in League Cup action in midweek, those semi-final games. They were both beaten, of course, but Chelsea have had an extra day's rest. They can't surely be as bad again as they were at Middlesbrough, where they were absolutely punchless. Middlesbrough defended really well and deserved the win, I thought, in that first leg tie. So Chelsea have been a bit better at Stamford Bridge. You know, there is talent in that team, but they so rarely actually look like a team, don't they? But I think they'll get this job done somehow. I'm a bit like Frank. You can never be sure with you, but I just think they're going to win.
Yeah, you're not sure why. Why are you going for a draw, Xhaka?
I like how Ian says Chelsea surely can't be as bad as they were against.
Oh, they
against
can.
Middlesbrough. Yeah.
Oh, but they can.
Oh, you just watch just Chelsea. Listen, it's Fulham. I've been through an awful spell, and then all of a sudden produces really good performance and results against Arsenal. Probably could have gotten more out of the game against Liverpool in the Cup if they just made more of their chances. But then I just can't get away from Chelsea. Chelsea is... Everybody can play against Chelsea and feel that they're a match. You saw that with Middlesbrough. You've seen that all season long. And I think, well, yes, this is a West London derby, and yes, history is against Fulham. If ever there's a team to rewrite history against, it's this version of Chelsea. So I just feel that Fulham continue that good, I want to say run of form.
You know, you picked that draw, right? Not a Fulham.
Yeah,
win.
Yeah. But
does a draw feel like a win at the moment?
It feels, it's Fulham, you know? It feels like a whole lot more. But I just feel Fulham are good enough to get a point.
That was very good.
I'm just not convinced. All I can say good about Chelsea is they're at home.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go on.
Do you have it at 2-2 draw?
Yeah.
Where do you see Chelsea scoring two goals?
Well, Cole Palmer was unlucky against Middlesbrough. He came close on a number of occasions.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay, all right. All right, glass half full over
I'm going
there.
To 2-2.
I'm a Middlesbrough fan over there.
It's coming from Kate.
Well, coming from me as well, because obviously when it does come to a team that you support, yeah, winning these guys, it does come down to an element of luck as well. No, wouldn't usually expect him to miss these chances.
No, here's the thing. These are not chances created by Chelsea. Right? It's a turnover by Middlesbrough, and then it's a goalkeeper that should be catching it that puts it onto the path of Cole Palmer. So my point is, if indeed you're going to see Chelsea scoring multiple goals, in the case that Saka is so very optimistic that they're going to score two, they're going to have to create chances of their own. And Chelsea, let me tell you, and there's just no reason, given the evidence that we have in front of us, to believe that this team can actually create multiple opportunities and certainly put away multiple opportunities. I see it as a draw 1-1. And honestly, I was thinking, you know, maybe Chelsea win it 1-0. And then I thought, no, they are terrible. They are bad. It's a bad team. And it's a bad team against Fulham at 1-1. I see it as a draw 1-1, but I don't see multiple goals from Chelsea in this game. Nope.
All right, another game coming up this weekend. Go on, Ian.
I was going to say, they drew 4-4 with Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. They have scored multiple goals this season. Okay. Quite a few times.
Right. Did you not hear, Ian, when I said what we saw in the game against Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
In the recent evidence, you watch this team play, and quite frankly, I don't know where you get any sort of hope that they can score multiple goals. Now, whatever happened in a game a month ago, a month and a half ago, we can talk about that if you so desire. But now is now. And what we're seeing from this team now is lacking creativity and really no hope offensively. I think that's fair.
I'm just saying, I think they're capable, if they're in the mood. They certainly weren't in the mood. I'm right with you at Middlesbrough.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
I want to know why Kay put Chelsea winning the game. Does she want to put some credit on Middlesbrough win?
Yes. This is backhanded compliment, Frank.
Not reveal my methods. And shall not reveal my methods. Shall move on to the next game that we need to talk about. Newcastle against Manchester City at St. James's Park. Because when you do look back in history, not so far away history, they did beat them. Newcastle did in the EFL Cup back in September. Obviously, coming into this clash, though, this weekend. Oh, sorry, we do have that Carabao Cup pro. Second final.
It's your team, Kay.
Semi-final second legs coming up. Chelsea against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough taking a 1-0 lead into that game at Stamford Bridge. Fulham against Liverpool. Fulham obviously losing that first leg, but now they bring it back to Craven Cottage. So, yes, let me talk about Newcastle against Manchester City. Man City travelling to St. James's Park. Newcastle coming into it on the back of a much-needed win that came over Sunderland in FA Cup action, because before that it had been three consecutive defeats in 2023, and then they'd lost on New Year's Day. So City favourites coming into this game. Ian, though, you've got Newcastle drawing it. Why?
They do quite well in this fixture, don't they? Remember last season, it was a 3-3 draw. They've had a big blow today, Newcastle, yet another injury. Joe Linton's out for at least 6 weeks, and he's an important player for them. But I think that win they had over Sunderland restored a lot of their energy, belief, confidence. They were great when they didn't have the ball in that game. Okay, Manchester City are a lot of a different proposition than Sunderland, who were poor on the day. But I think at home, in front of that big crowd, they're capable of asking that City defence some problems and maybe getting something out of the game.
Xhaka?
I love Ian's optimism. Let me just say, this is going to be a tough outing for Newcastle. And I appreciate what Ian is saying about the performance against Sunderland. Sunderland aren't very good. But still, when you look at Newcastle's recent results, I think Man City are playing a whole lot better since returning from the Club World Cup. I just feel that City, even with the players missing, win this. I think it's narrow. I think Newcastle are getting better, But just this is just too soon a test, too early for Newcastle in that recovery.
Is this a double bluff from Ishak? One of those where you pick against Newcastle, but really you're...
No, I'm just not feeling it.
You wanna explain it like you did the Chelsea fooling game?
No,
that was very clear.
Let's see if Frank can be a little bit more clear on why he's got Man City winning this clash.
Because it's, I think it's when Manchester United City, starts, their the way they normally play at the before the end of the season, and where they take on any other team. And they make it better, and they are starting to be invincible. It's how it starts. It's after the winter time, and I see them starting with Newcastle with a big performance. Newcastle has too many injuries. They're not coming back or slowly, and City is on his way back to the success. So that's the way I see the history of that season.
Ian, does Haaland being out hurt things, though, in a game like this against Newcastle for Manchester City?
Well, you'd always want him around, wouldn't you? But I just did a little check today before coming on the show tonight. Their record without Haaland, the stress fracture of the foot that he's got, they've played 8 games, they've won 7 and drawn the other one. So they're doing just fine without him.
That's too much. All right, Shaka.
Ian
is just saying that they don't need Haaland. That's crazy.
That's a headline.
Even more lethal with him, wouldn't they? But Alvarez is in great form, isn't he? And Foden, fantastic form as well. Why did I tip 2-10?
Hey, that's all right, Ian. All we heard is they don't need Haaland, is what you said. That's all.
All right. On Sunday, Manchester United will be taking on Spurs. There's some good games coming across this weekend in the Premier League, even with that winter break. We're going to take a look at the odds for this one. Spurs are seeking their first ever Premier League double over United. Both advanced in their cup games this week, so Jim Ratcliffe's going to be there. Frank, when it comes to the predictions for this one, you're going for a Tottenham Hotspur win. Why?
Because I see a game where Manchester United tries to get something out of it, and they're going to be smashing counter-attack. Tottenham, they're very fast, they're very accurate when we talk about going in counter-attack, and I don't see Manchester United defense capable to deal with that. I don't see Manchester United getting better, and I still believe on Postecoglou and his tactic for the game to beat Manchester United on their on the way they want to play the game, because they're going to have to push. They play at home, Manchester United. They want to have the control of the ball, but as soon as they're going to lose the ball, they're going to be in danger.
Ian Dark, Manchester United with a win here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're asking me for predictions, and predictions make fools of you, but think back to United's display against Aston Villa. I think this might be quite an open game. Tottenham will go for it, and they'll press high on Manchester United. United looked a bit better, didn't they? OK, it was against Wigan in the FA Cup. You're never quite sure what you're going to get from them. But they did. There was something there in that Aston Villa performance. 2-0 down, 1-3-2. Spurs are in a bit of a funny phase without Son. Are they quite the same attacking threat without him? It didn't look like it in that FA Cup game against Burnley last week. They looked as flat as I've seen them this season. And I think United are capable at Old Trafford of getting the result they're looking for.
OK, well, Ian, what of Timo Werner then? Because obviously it looks as though he'll be eligible to play for Spurs versus United on Sunday. Ange Postecoglou has obviously seen something in this forward and is confident that he can do well in his system.
Well, they're just hoping they can turn him around, because he has never looked, has he, the threat he did in his before in his first spell with Leipzig. It didn't work for him at Chelsea, but not very often anyway. And he's been on the fringe of things at Leipzig, which is why they're letting him go. They're just hoping that the change of scene, I think, can bring back the player that he used to be. But it's a punt, but it's probably a punt worth taking with Son away just for a few months.
Ali, you going for a draw?
Yeah, for all the things that
Ian mentioned, yeah, I can see a path here by which Manchester United get a result. However, I'm not nearly as optimistic that Manchester United go on to win it, because I do think that there are some flaws that you just can't deny from Manchester United's perspective. And I wonder what happens with Onana, given all the controversy as to missing a game with Cameroon. And is he going to have a great performance? Is he not? Is he going to have a game-saving performance? Or not so much? A lot of pressure on what he does in this game, given the attention that his decision to stay with Manchester United, at the very least, got attention out of this studio. Very much so, you and Craig got very excited about it.
I don't know why people are so bothered about it.
I don't know.
Stevie, not nearly as excited. The truth of the matter is, I do think that Manchester United is good enough to get in a back and forth with Tottenham and get a point out of it, but not good enough to win it.
Shaka.
I'm not sure that United are good enough to get in a back and forth with Spurs.
All right.
And that's just... United have just been far too inconsistent for me. You know, you're never quite sure which version of them is going to show up. As per the Aston Villa game, you're not quite sure which version is going to show up either half. And for me, while, yes, Spurs are missing key players, as Ian mentioned, I just feel that Postecoglou has got this team playing in the way that he wants them to. He knows his individuals. He's as good a man manager as any in the league. And I think he continues to get that tune out of Spurs. They continue to trend in the right direction, where United just continue to be inconsistent.
Can I just say something very quickly about Timo Werner? When he left Chelsea to go back to Leipzig, the rhetoric was, well, the change of scenery, going back to where he had been successful, is going to work wonders for him. That didn't work. It worked in the short term, but now, as Ian mentioned, he wasn't playing for Leipzig. Now had some injury issues and then couldn't get back in the team. And so now we're going to go with another change of scenery back to where he had been struggling back in the Premier League. Look, I suppose it's a free hit for Spurs, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it. But let's not expect Timo Werner to come back to the Premier League and be the player that he wasn't with Chelsea, that he hasn't been with Leipzig over the last couple of seasons, and what we now pretend he's going to be for Spurs.
All right. Well, thanks so much to Ian Dark for being with us. Obviously, we don't always like making the predictions, but we love to tell everybody when we were right about them afterwards. So let's see if there's a chance to do that, especially me as well. Dan, all of us, let's be honest.
Got a couple of winners coming this week.
Oh, yay! Oh, yes.
Speaking of winners.
Yes. That's a winner.
Oh, it's a hairy, scary old time. Yeah. Oh, one extra time. Word. Check it out every single day on YouTube. Yes. Frank will be back with the boys to answer your question on the latest edition.
You weren't ready for that, were you?
I was not.
Me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Stick around with us. Frank LeBeouf will be back to answer your questions on Extra Time. Ali and Shaka as well. And hopefully Ali's hair will stay just like this. I don't like the alternative. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali Moreno, Shaka Hislop.
Uh-huh.
Frank LeBeouf are joining us. Frank, we were all talking about how awful our French was ahead of tonight's show, but obviously you're here to save us in that department.
No, but
don't even think you can hear me.
Yeah, bonjour tout le monde. Ça va?
Si, bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour, Frank, ça va?
Fantastic, fantastic.
What did you say?
Provian.
Oh, you just threw it. Oh, you just threw it in random words. No.
Yeah, that's what I know.
First question, Shaka.
No. Hold on. Instead of we were throwing random words, and then she said, "Café de Paris."
Oh, yeah.
What? Is it French or not?
goodness me.
We just
is it
random
French
places
or not?
Now.
Café de Paris. Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't mean a
that's
thing.
Not such a revealing, that's such a revealing go-to. Café de Paris, one of the trendy nightclubs in London back in the day.
Oh, Shaka would know.
Yeah.
Somehow that's your go-to.
It was an offensive
whiskey. All I'm saying is, somehow that's your go-to.
Yeah, it was our favorite nightclub, Whiskey. Yeah, I'll tell you, Café de Paris.
Okay. I have stories to tell from that nightclub, but not for this show.
Wait a minute.
I don't want to know.
Wait a minute.
Okay. I don't want to know.
Wait a minute.
Not my stories.
That's the question. I don't want to know.
I bet Frank's got a few as well. All right, Shaka.
No, don't blame Frank for this. You did it.
No.
I was just a young teen.
You're on your own.
I don't have any stories.
I bet you do. Shaka. In reference to the Burnley Luton game, would you have expected to get that call as a goalkeeper?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's clear cut. It is clear cut. And as fouls like this that I often, this is my criticism of VAR, in that I can't help but feel that some referees aren't making obvious calls in the hope that VAR intervenes. Like, they're seeing it and thinking, well, I'll just wait for VAR to intervene. That's obvious. No referee should have to need to rely on video replay to see that. I mean,
especially given what's at stake as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really poor officiating all round.
Number two.
If I may, it's a big deal. Really, it's a big deal what we see. It's really. The VAR is dealt by amateurs, by people who don't know football. You know, in 3 seconds before the show, we saw the picture and the three of us, we, like in a second, decided that it was all a foul from Adebayo. We don't understand why there is somebody who can say otherwise in the VAR and watching it like 3-4 times before. Yeah, no, it's not a foul. No, you know nothing about football, man. Get out of the business. We don't want to see you anymore. Those people have to get out of the business. Really.
Get out. Get out.
Yeah. Get out of the business.
Never got said to Frank when he was in the VIP lounge.
We're back there. Are we?
We're
back there.
You don't belong to there. You know, get out.
Frank, have you ever been to a game and it feels awkward because you played and support both teams that are playing? For example, Marseille against Strasbourg. That was 1-1 today, Frank.
Yes, I know, but I've never been in that situation, and I've never been a fan. You know, I love football because I mean I can see a good game, and even if, for example, Chelsea plays and they play against another team, and the other team plays better, like Middlesbrough, I'm happy for Middlesbrough, and I think my team deserves to lose. So I'm not a supporter. I don't give my opinion about a game like for Marseille and Strasbourg. I just want to wish a good game and the better team wins. That's it, because I'm not that type of guy.
Okay. Would Shaka ever play two games within 24 hours like Onana?
If I have to.
See the caveat there? But if you put him in that uncomfortable situation, then maybe.
Shaka, when we play the winter time, we had two games in 48 hours, the 28th and the 30th, or the 26th and the 28th. I think it happened twice to me. So I guess it happened to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on, but never, I don't think I've ever played back to back. But I've never had to. You know, but I would.
But if anybody can do it, would be a goalkeeper.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Let's just say that you're fresher than the outfield players.
Well, we are fitter than the outfield players.
No, we're fresher.
No. Time to recover.
Yeah, well, Yanov Black against Brahim Diaz.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure Jan could have played the next day if you asked him. He'd be like,
Jan almost retired.
I need a little bit more time to recover from that run.
Can we follow up on that? Because I think it was on last night's show, or then maybe the night before, when you said, we've been there. I've been there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
I remember it specifically. Playing for Portsmouth, we were top of the table. It was Portsmouth against Sheffield United at Fratton Park. I think we were top, they were second, and if they won, they would have gone above us, something like that. We're losing 2-1, I think it was. Last minute of the game, we get a corner. I go up.
First mistake.
Yeah. Come charging up. David Unsworth. So I cleverly bend my run to the far post. You know, disguise my run.
Cleverly.
Come round far post, round the blind side.
They set a pick for you.
Unzi put it near post. They head it out. Peter Unlove, who is as quick as anything, he gets the ball. I'm running. Honestly, I'm chasing Peter Unlove. He is all but moonwalking. he is moonwalking, and I can't catch it. And he is just killing himself laughing. And then as we cross the half line, ref blows the game off. Goes empty. I just collapsed right there. And I was like, So the ref was laughing. Even the ref, when he blew it off, he just started laughing. Everybody just started. I mean, Sheffield United didn't care. They won. They go above us. So, you know, even though it would have made it 3-1, they couldn't care. Everybody's laughing at me with my running back. I've collapsed halfway. Yeah.
Oh, Shag. As soon as you said that, I thought, I need to ask him about that. Yeah. I need to ask him. All right, for Frank, start, bench, or drop these managers, Deschamps, Jacquet, and Wenger.
Did you throw in a little Jacquet?
I tried. He's going to now say Jacquet.
Well, let's say that in terms of clubs, I would say that Jacquet had a very good run with Bordeaux, but otherwise with Montpellier, for example, and maybe Saint-Etienne, he struggled. Wenger, except the last years at Arsenal, had an absolutely fantastic run with Monaco and Arsenal. And Deschamps has won so many things with Juve, Marseille. So I would put Wenger, Deschamps, and Jacquet. But in terms of mind style, what they brought to the football, I have to put Jacquet and the World Cup when he prepared for 98 on the top, because really, he has guessed everything for every game. That was amazing how he prepared the World Cup, how he decided to get the players and who he picked, because he knew exactly what he wanted to have. He wanted to have a club team, not a national team. And it was really good. It's a hard question, but I would say, overall, Wenger. For me, Jacquet, because what he did with Bordeaux, and Deschamps.
Shaka, and I'd like Ale in on this one as well. But Shaka, who would you start for Madrid in the Spanish Supercopa final, Kepa or Lunin?
Well, Lunin, no question about this.
Lunin. I've always liked Lunin. Now I understand.
What message does that send, though? Given that Kepa played the semi.
This point, the right one.
Because he said that he won't choose between the two right now. He said it on record, yeah. Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, well, I will. I'll go on record too. I'll go Lunin.
And he also said on the record that the reason as to why he's not choosing one is because they both make him doubt. They both make a case the wrong direction. And that's not a good place to be if you're a manager. That's not a good place to be if you are a goalkeeper either. I think if you just evaluate, and you take the names away, you just evaluate the performances from both goalkeepers, it is clear to see that Lunin has been better than Kepa. The issue is that Kepa was brought in specifically because Courtois was out and Kepa was supposed to be the answer. Well, Kepa is not the answer. In fact, he is prone to mistakes, whereas Lunin, while not being spectacular, is not nearly as prone to mistakes as Kepa is. I think Lunin should be starting.
One to watch on Sunday. How hopeful is Shaka that Jamaica and Trinidad can both make the 2026 World Cup?
I'm hopeful that Jamaica can. I think Jamaica have a very good chance. I'm not as hopeful with Trinidad and Tobago, I'll be honest. And I know the odds are in our favour, given that it'd be three big boys in CONCACAF are hosts and automatically qualify.
More teams.
I mean, if there was ever a chance.
Listen, all things being even, we absolutely should. We shouldn't even be having this discussion. But given what we've seen from this team for the last, I would say, probably 8 years, I'm not so convinced.
You're not selling it, Shaq.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I've said that, I'll say it again on record. I would love to go and see Trinidad and Tobago play in a World Cup. I really do. I'm just not sure that it's going to happen.
They're going to remove him from the
team. You see what just happened here? He's laying the groundwork for somebody to pay for him to go watch Trinidad playing the World Cup.
I'm going to go myself. I'm going there.
You're offering.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to buy my ticket. I'm going to join the line and be a fan.
Shaka, I think we have to make sure that we keep good health. You know, and maybe in 2048, you know, when the FIFA was going to put 96 teams, you know, in the World Cup, we might see Trinidad and Tobago.
We qualify for show. Yeah. We'll go, Frank, we'll go.
Hey, I'll go too, baby. That's all going to be in.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean,
uh-oh?
No? What do you mean,
I think she looked at you.
No, I didn't.
I looked at you, Ali.
For Frank, on yesterday's show, Dan said that the fish would have better pace than Ale, Shaka, Jan, or Oblak. Do you agree?
No, I think I give a good chance. I give a good chance to Ali. I'm sure that Ali is going to win. He's still in good shape. I'm not sure about Jan. I think he's going to get worse. Shaka, I don't know, Shaka, can you defend yourself? And Oblak, should be good as well.
Any excuse to show this.
That's terrible.
Any excuse.
You know the problem we have with Jan, he has big calves. The calves, Jan's calves are very heavy. So if you see the run, he can't move his feet because the calves are too heavy. That's too heavy. Wow. No, that's the problem.
The backside is heavy too, Frank.
Too much hair. His hair is slowing down.
Yes? Yeah, I don't want to mention that.
Thank you, Frank.
Let me just say my defense. Lightning quick, you know.
What?
Carry on.
What?
Carry on. Yeah.
See, you couldn't even keep a straight face when you said that.
I just want to say that. I've got many a medal in my...
Okay. Okay, Ale, rank the following. I love that ESPNFC positivity corner is already up. Rank the following in order of likelihood. Kane failing to win any trophies this season at Bayern... Girona winning La Liga, or Craig embracing the positivity corner and giving up his anger?
In order of likelihood, so from most likely to least likely?
Yes.
Well, whatever else was said is most likely, and Craig embracing the positivity corner and giving up on his anger, that is last like Jan Agafjortov last.
Yeah.
Really last. Behind the fish last.
He was doing so well until Onana. I blame the goalkeepers.
Oh, no. It was just percolating under there.
That undercurrent of tension is there all the time. And it doesn't take much.
Oh.
It doesn't take
much. So that's last.
Absolutely last. The other ones are not even worth talking about. Craig's anger will never go away. Unless you're in the golf course, I'll say that.
Yes.
Unless you're in the
golf course. Until we move this show to the golf course.
Yes. So if we can have this show out on the 18th green, then we can have a different sort of...
I can attest, golf course Craig and ESPN FC Craig are two different people in town.
He's the mayor. He's the mayor of the golf club.
What about locker room Craig, Frank?
He was a funny guy. Yeah, no, he was very positive. I discovered the angry Craig on ESPN. I didn't know the angry Craig before. No. He was good. He was a good guy. He was a very good guy in the dressing room.
I think we all discover the angry Craig on this very show.
Yes.
All right, good question.
Who's first and second? They told us who's last, we didn't tell us who's first and second.
It's worth discussing who's first and second.
Yeah, sorry, it's a long line.
Yes.
A long way back.
What is...
Kane failing to win any trophies at Bayern this season or Girona winning La Liga?
It's most likely that Kane wins a trophy than Girona winning La Liga. So basically Bayern Munich winning than Girona winning.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Kane, Girona, and then well outside the picture, and I mean not even in the same ballpark, we're talking about in the next county.
Further than the positivity corner
itself. Oh, no, the positivity corner, beyond the positivity corner, well beyond, then it's
all right. Thanks so much for sending
behind
in your
the
questions
camera, yeah.
today.
Yeah.
In the dark.
At the Café du Paris.
Café, this story.
Well, no secret, we'll say.
Yes.
Hey! That's
how... Okay. Come on, Kane!
Oh, Victor Boniface now.
Boniface.
It's Boniface. Come on, Shaq, give us a little Boniface.
No.
No.
What?
I'm saving for...
You have pride now? You have pride?
Yeah.
About Kane.
All right.
Kane.
Not now.
So I did it in the camp.
I'll save that.
I don't want to know.
If Borough beat Chelsea...
Oh! Come on! Ooh.
Chelsea! Yeah! Borough beat Chelsea, a dance-off with Frank.
A throw-down! Right. A fashioned throw-down!
That's a 1994 move. Yeah.
There you go. All right, thanks so much for sending in your questions. We'll see you next time on Extra Time.